So thank you, dear brethren, for that, for this opportunity to unite like this. So let's continue with our review, with our discussion of Acts chapter 15. We did verses 21 to 35 last Sabbath, and it was actually a second gleaning. It wasn't planned so, but we had already finished verses 15 to 35 a prior Sabbath, but I didn't realize that, and so we did another gleaning unintentionally, and we found more information that I did not present in the prior gleaning, so it's all fine. But today we will continue from verse 35 to verse 41, which is the end of chapter 15. And if time permits, we will go do a little bit of chapter 16. So we saw how they fulfill their ministry and what was that service? They needed to send the letter and to read the letter and then give copies of the letter to the congregations among the nations, among the Gentiles. And they did that, and then they left, went to Antioch. And in verse 33 it says, "And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles." So here, let go in peace is actually let go with greetings, let go with salutations from the brethren to the apostles. So that means as they were leaving, the brethren basically told them, "Send our greetings to the apostles." You could look that up yourself if you want to verify, but that's actually what the text is. Let go in here refers in peace means go and send our greetings from the brethren, from us in our locations, in our Gentile locations to the apostles, unto the apostles. So notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So Silas decided one reason or another, we don't know what the reason is, to stay longer. And it says to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the sovereign with many others also. So even though it doesn't say the Spirit made him stay, but by the consensus here that the same Paul had the same inclination, Barnabas had the same inclination to stay in Antioch, shows that this was a work of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit is working, the Spirit causes the brethren to unite. When the Spirit is not working for a particular purpose, often that doesn't happen. You understand? When that doesn't happen, you can see one brother or sister have a particular conviction, but it's not shared among people that are known to love Elohim. That means it's not Elohim's will for that information or that purpose to yet be achieved. It doesn't mean that the brother or sister is wrong. It just means it's not something Elohim wants to do now. So sometimes we may know something. Elohim may show us something, give us an understanding. And then when we share it with people that we have seen the signs of Elohim in them, for some reason, they're not inclined to it. Let's be mindful and be aware that it's very possible that Elohim has shown you something that's for you, for your strength, for your move, for your growth because of where you are, but it's not necessarily something that the others need to know yet. And we will see more of this in the book of Acts. And I'm saying this so that we can know, and because these are points of what? Division for those who are not discerning the will of the Spirit, to understand, to look at the scriptures, to see what does the Spirit do. Because he does not leave us without a witness. You see, he shows us in the scriptures, not just by the words, but by the behaviors that he causes the either the prophet or the servant to exhibit. We learn not just by their words, but by their actions. Okay? So if you notice here, then you could tell this is the work of the Spirit, that it's not just Silas's own good desire, good nature, but this is the work of the Spirit. So we need to be careful to try to keep these things in mind as we're in our lives, when we're seeing people are trying to promote things and yet there's not a consensus. Sometimes it's because the people aren't ready. And sometimes it's, again, what's being learned, what the individual is trying to share is something that Elohim wants that individual to share. And that's why elsewhere it says, if you have faith, keep it to yourself. If we have time, we'll look at that passage to see the content. So if you have a particular faith, keep it to yourself. That's interesting. Because there, as I said, there are sometimes Elohim teaches you, because it's faith. When there's no consensus, that means the Spirit doesn't want it spread. That's what that means. But let's continue from here. So Paul also, Silas, Paul and Barnabas decided to stay in Antioch and teaching. So that's in verse 35 where we left off last Sabbath. Let's read to verse 36 and 41. And some days after, and this is from chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 36 to 51. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the sovereign, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, Johann, or Yohanan, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of Elohim. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the congregations. This is such an important teaching, and I haven't prayed so much as I normally do before, but I'm praying in my heart as I do this message that I explain it properly, because this has to do with causes of division, causes of unity, things that we need to understand so that we're not torn apart. Because the work of the congregation of Elohim is to serve Elohim. And one of the things that Elohim wants is for his people to be together. I think we all must know this by now ourselves. We know this from the scriptures, from the old, from the very beginning, from the earliest points of the scriptures all the way. You even see Adam. Adam was told to stay in a certain place, to stay with together, to be a community of people. Even after their sins, they were to be there near the garden, even though they couldn't go in. We saw Moses. We saw through Abraham how they were together and had to coordinate. There was no room for division. If there was some misunderstanding, the misunderstandings had to be brought to light, not kept in their hearts secretly, which is not something that's sound to do biblically. When there's a problem, we need to voice it. Voice it so there can be immediate understanding and reconciliation. And as we know, sometimes the immediate understanding and reconciliation doesn't mean we necessarily need to agree, but it just means, okay, now we know there is a problem, something that's not understood. We need to pray about it. The solutions to the congregation, to the problems of the congregation, is not division. When there's a misunderstanding, it's prayer and patience, hope, faith, and love. That's the solution. Never disbanding. Because all those who disband just find themselves going from the frying pan, usually into the fire, where they're isolated, depressed, and sometimes outright lose faith and lose their sense of understanding of what they're supposed to be doing. And that's how the adversary gets us. So you will see the apostles don't do this, despite what we've read. So let's go back. So as we see in verse 36, it says, Some days after that they decided, that Paul, Barnabas, and Silas decided to stay in Antioch. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, what? Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word and see how they do. Let's think about what's being said. So the spirit of Elohim, the love of Elohim in Paul's heart. So we mustn't think that the spirit must do everything. That's why, what's it called? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love. The love of Elohim is manifest in Paul's mind. Remember, we are a being too. We're not empty creatures that the Spirit must tell to do everything. When the love of Elohim is in us, then we function, our hearts and minds function, what? In accord with the Spirit of Elohim. When we don't know what to do, the Counselor, the Spirit, comes and guides us. When we are unable, the power, the Spirit of Elohim, comes and what? Enable us. So we're not marionettes. We're not puppets on a string that needs to be turned here and there. No, we are being trained to have a mind of Messiah. So once we do something out of pure love, you already know it's in accord with the will of Messiah. Messiah's will, love is broad and can accommodate love in many ways. David is like that. The account with David building the temple is an example. Elohim never asked for such a thing. Didn't need it. It doesn't even really make sense. It doesn't make sense. Okay? And Solomon knew it. The heavens cannot contain him. How shall he live in a temple? So it's really just symbolic. And Elohim never needed a temple. Never. Never asked for it. But his love accommodated David's desire, because he knew David was doing it out of love, and so he accepted it. And in his great love, the great love of, you know what, David, I'm going to build you a temple. All right, we talked about this a few times during the Feast of Tabernacles, but these kind of concepts are important for us to keep in mind to understand what's going on. So the love of Elohim here in Paul's heart said unto Barnabas, let us go to the brethren in every city where we have preached. So to do what? So we can see how they are doing. What lesson can, so much lessons to learn, but we need to evaluate what we do. Okay? When we do a work, we don't just do the work and move on and forget the work. We have to come back and tend to it and evaluate. See how is it working? Are they growing? So whatever we do, we need to do that. Whether we do it as individuals or collectively, when we do something, a good work, we mustn't forget it. We need to go back, if need be, to assess it. We mustn't be too tired. Let us go in every city. Oh my goodness, could you understand the magnitude of the work involved here? They don't have taxis. They don't have automobiles. They don't have jet planes. They don't have trains, and everything was manual. Could you imagine the labor of love that's going on here? Can we be the congregation of Elohim and sit on our hands? No way. If we want to be in his hands, we have to be diligent about the little things that he has given us. He hasn't given us to do what Paul does, but he has given us clearly from the early chapters of Acts that wherever the congregation of Elohim went, not the apostles, just the general assembly when they were scattered under the persecution of Paul when he was a rabbi, when he was Rav Shaul, he was here as a believer, he's no longer Rav Shaul, he counts all that as loss. He's a shliach, he's an apostle of the sovereign Yeshua. The ideas of rabbi and things like that, that's history for him, because these things are not biblical, but that's for another study. But they were determined to go where they have preached and see how they are doing. So we need to do that. We need to make sure that we're doing. What are we supposed to be doing? The congregations, the people of Elohim, those who are saved, as I was thinking about it this morning, those who are saved are scattered. But we need to find each other. It's very important, dear brethren. This is the early part of what we need to do. It really is. It's not something I'm saying. I am saying it, but it's not my own idea. This is from Elohim. All of us who love Elohim must stop this cycle. Must do all we can to stop this cycle of division. Perhaps we may not live to see it fulfill, but Elohim will grant you some success. And as we continue more and more, and when we're all gone, the work of the congregation of Elohim in New York will not end. It cannot end. And people will continue to draw. And things from state to state nation to nation. It will grow. Because what's going on here, I'm saying to you, brethren, lies have separated the people of Elohim. Now the truth must unite us. You are all agents, servants, ministers of the truth. And our job is to be diligent about uniting the brethren, working towards that. Okay, so let's see how they do, he said. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Just before I say that, remember back in chapter 14, right? It says, chapter 14, verse 20, they did the same thing. When they ministered in Iconium, right? They, in verse 21, they did the same thing. They went, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. See, they went back to strengthen them. And now, again, they're going back to evaluate it. How did we do? That's how important the work is. They want to see how to make sure the brethren are in the faith. And then we read about John, how, and Barnabas determined to take John, whose surname was Mark. And we see Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia, as we saw in chapter 13. Chapter 13, verses 13, we read, now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them their return to Jerusalem. And remember I had mentioned for us to keep that in mind? And so this is why I had said to keep it in mind. Because that leaving, that abandoning, as it appeared to be, I don't know what was John's intent, but he left. Paul was not very happy with that. And we could understand. Because he left them and returned to Jerusalem. Okay? As in Acts chapter 13, verse 13 is where that happened. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Okay? So here, that created a problem. Because of that, Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Remember, they're flesh and blood. They're not perfect. So they make mistakes. I don't know yet really who made the mistake. Is it John who made the mistake for returning to Jerusalem? Or is it Paul who made the mistake for misinterpreting his intentions and so feel John is not reliable to take for, is not reliable. He might abandon them again. That's what's going on. And sometimes they're not wrong. Sometimes both of them are thinking pure thoughts because they're evaluated. The Spirit allows them to evaluate the situation and make decisions themselves. But the Spirit doesn't abandon them. He allows them to stumble a little bit, maybe to make a decision, but he makes it all work out for good. Just as the Psalm says, he hides his face for a little while and all are distressed, right? And then they cry out to him and he answers them. So Elohim knows what he's doing. So you notice the Spirit does not provide any guidance here. Why? Why? Are we ever in such situations where we need, you feel you're in a fork, in a road of life, and yet you don't know what to do? You don't know which way to go? He hasn't left you. If love is in your heart, whichever way you go, as long as you need, you can see it's righteous in other ways, like you're not sinning. That's where the law comes very handy. That's where the law becomes very handy, because when we don't know what to do and you don't hear the Spirit, you make sure whichever way, though you choose the way that's not going to transgress Elohim's law. And if both ways have no transgression, you, whichever one you go in, Elohim will direct your path. That's the faith of the new covenant that we can have. No matter which way you go, when you don't know, as long as sin is not in the path, whichever one you go into, Elohim will direct your path and give you success. Sometimes something happens. You feel, oh, wow, I really wanted it to happen that way. And you're a little disappointed. But because of the grace of Elohim in your heart, you say, nonetheless, bless the Eternal, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Or you humble yourself before Elohim for grace. And guess what you find out in the end? Oh, I wanted to go that way, because that's why I thought that was the better way. But it turns out this way is actually better. Think about times that happen. So no matter, once there's not sin in the way, unless the Spirit tells you turn here or turn there, you could go anyway. Go anyway. As long as there's no sin, Elohim will direct your path. So Paul and Barnabas had differences of opinion here. Paul, in his under, he said, John left us in Pamphylia. I don't want him to go. I don't want him to come. Not that he didn't love John, but there's a work to be done. And he, from his honest assessment, John wasn't suitable for that work. Barnabas, who is the son of consolation, very patient, very merciful, doesn't mean he's better than Paul. He just has that thing about him that's a little bit more, could be a little bit more patient than Paul. And that's not necessarily a better thing than Paul. Because sometimes when we have so much patience, we take longer than need to achieve things unless the Messiah, the Spirit of Elohim, pushes us along. Let's continue with the text. And the verse 39 says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, that's John, and sailed unto Cyprus. And verse 40 says, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of Elohim. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the congregation. So what happened here? They went two by two. Do you notice that's how Elohim usually sends them to their work? When Messiah sent them, he sent them two by two, right? Is it possible that this is kind of like Gideon's situation? You have too many to do the work, right? Gideon had how many people? He said, no, 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 this is too much. Bring it down. And I think, if I remember, it went down to 300 men to fight the battle. And that was enough, right? So it's possible that that what's going on, Elohim allowed them to work this out in this way. But in the end, what happens? He sends them the way Messiah always sends them, two by two. Barnabas went with John Mark, and Paul went with Silas. Okay? So I will stop here, because of the time, and we'll continue the next opportunity with Acts chapter 16. Thank you for listening.